For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What up? This is Robert Ori.
Ori, three-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ori for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ori from downtown.
All right, here we go. Bonus show, shoot around. Welcome to it. If you ever have a question for the show, send it on to at Big Shot Bob Pod. Pretty much all over the place. You find Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever the hell it's called. Big Shot Bob Pod at Gmail. I want to start with a question from Ken. It was a question spread around the internet this week. It came to us. The Philadelphia, from Ken, quote, the Philadelphia 76ers should be ashamed of that tiny-ass statue they unveiled of Allen Iverson. How sad is that? Is it because it's outside the practice facility?
Okay. Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start this because I sent this to a friend of mine when I saw it because I watched the ceremony. Context matters, and I'm saying this because I was guilty.
It does.
Because I said, Philly, what the hell are y'all doing? This man, this statue is the size of his MVP trophy.
Oh, yeah.
But what I realized is they have all the legends who have a small statue like that outside of the practice facility. And they actually had to show a video to prove it because I'm pretty sure that, look, everybody was on Philly's head. They saw all the comments.
Big time. Again, I'm getting people emailing the show about it.
Yeah. And so that's what it is to the point where they had to actually show a video. Now, Philly, you need to put an actual real statue outside of, what's that, the Wells Fargo Arena?
I think it's Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look. I think it's. Go ahead.
Go, you go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, I think it's because we're fresh off of the Kobe statue.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everybody, you know, throwing their flowers at guys like this. And then Iverson, but I think the story got very muddy in the sense of Allen Iverson's getting a statue. And it wasn't contextualized that he's getting a statue outside the practice facility where there's 10 other statues of Charles Barkley and Moses Malone and Dr. J, and they're all exactly the same. So, of course, it became just like media hellfire. Everyone just seized on it. So, yes, I think they need to get an Iverson statue up in Philly, and it better be spectacular. It better be freaking awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I agree with you, B, big time. When you're coming off the unveiling of Kobe statue and all these other things, and you think about, you know, all the statues of Jordan, whoever it is around the league, you know, even you go to Dream statue, who Dream, because of his religion, you couldn't do, he didn't want a statue of himself, he just used his jersey. The size of the statue, like when you first unveil, like, what the hell? But then you see, oh, this is what they do. Oh,
this is the, and, yeah, this is,
yeah. This is, it's nothing like the disrespect.
It's not like there's a huge Dr. J statue over here and they gave Allen.
So it's in reference to what they do there. So I was like shocked too, because I didn't know that either. And then I was like, and I started looking, I'm like, Moses, because I knew Moses. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
everybody's like that.
Moses,
but if you really think about it, that's, it's almost like those, like the Asian, those little, what they call those warriors that they have, like in those, they have
samurai.
Those samurai warriors. Where you, it's like that, you know, they have all their little warriors.
Oh,
that
no,
they
you're talking about play. The terracotta soldiers that they have like all lined up. And yeah, okay, uh-huh. What you're talking about. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool that they did it that way. That way they can like put more statues of more people and spend less money.
Well, and it's a practice facility. This isn't outside, you know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah.
I get it. It's in Camden.
Right.
People aren't going to the practice facility unless you want to go down that little walk and see those statues. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, as long as Allen Iverson is happy with it, we should be happy.
See, I think part of it was there was a lot of reaction shots of Iverson that where people were screen grabbing and putting out where he was just kind of like, You know what I mean? like a little taken aback, and everyone's like, oh, look, even he's upset about how small the statue is. And,
No, I think Iverson knew. I mean,
I would imagine so.
He's seen that facility before. He knows
practice.
Yeah,
he go to practice.
But that is ironic, because even if that was the only statue that they put outside of that, the irony of that. The man had all the problems in the world with practice.
Yeah, practice.
Yeah.
We put a statue of him in front of practice.
Right.
That's perfect. All right, I do want to mention this quote from Kevin Durant, and then we have a lot of other stuff to get to. Durant says, staying away from floppers and crash dummies is the reason he was able to stay healthy this season. Quote from Durant, no players flopped into my legs this year. The last 2 years I had my teammate flop into me and an opponent flop into me, two straight years that caused me to get MCL injuries. If it wasn't for that, I probably would have been out there the same amount of games, but I'm glad nobody flopped into me. Just stay away from the crash dummies. You know, the dudes who try to sell calls and don't mind hurting people by diving on the floor trying to sell a call. I know who those guys are, and I try to stay away from them.
Oh, you know who those guys are. You know. It's like there's certain guys that have always been in the league. You're like, okay, I know he's coming. Keep your feet moving. If he comes toward you, jump. That way you fall on top of him. And not.
Are you
like,
serious? You know, is that like prevalent to the point where you know those guys when you take the floor?
Well, we used to call it the fake hustle guys. When they do that fake hustle where they're like diving for no reason at a ball. I'm like, dude, you have no chance in hell to get that ball. What the fuck are you doing?
Trying to take somebody's legs out?
Yeah. And so, you know, you wait for those guys and you do the old people's elbow on them. And so that's what you do when they dive.
Give me the people's elbow one more time. I want to see it one more time. Yeah. Oh, man. Your people's elbow's wrist is broken. It's like... by the way, it has been fun, and I am not a wrestling fan.
Yes.
It's been super fun watching wrestling with The Rock back. And I know he's stepping away.
Nice.
Holy cow, dude. I have not watched a second of WrestleMania in ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the whole last 10 minutes like five times. Because that was freaking bananas.
WrestleMania Sunday was even better.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. Was it really?
Yeah.
Yes. It was. You got to go back and watch it.
I might have to go back and watch the whole damn thing.
I'm still upset. Even though I love Undertaker, but I still wish Stone Cold.
It should have been Stone Cold, man.
They couldn't come to terms, right? Yeah, they couldn't find enough money for him.
Come on. Because there would have been nothing.
Stone Cold?
There would have been nothing better than when that. Don't get me wrong. When the Undertaker bell hits. And all the lights go out. That's like, if you're an old school wrestling fan, that was like chills. It's like, my God, the Undertaker. If that would have been the glass shatter.
Glass breaking. Yeah.
the place would have gone sideways. And he would have popped up underneath.
Two beers.
And bing, stunned the Rock. That place would have been on fire.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Well,
that was the last time I watched wrestling. It was back in those days.
Congrats to Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know, taking out the bloodline.
Got it done. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm not a huge wrestling fan. I love the hell out of it. I enjoyed the hell out of that. Yeah. I hope they continue to do more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know who is crazy? What's the dude's name that plays Aquaman?
Oh, Jason Momoa.
Why he look like he should be a part of the bloodline in that family?
Because he looks like Roman Reigns.
And did he never wrestle at any point in time?
I don't think so, no.
He looked like it.
They're cousins.
Are they?
No, they're not. Are they?
I would believe it. If you say that, I believe it.
Look at you. Oh, they're cousins. and we're like, oh, yeah, sure. Of course they are.
Can I tell you
something? They all look alike. Wait, no.
Hey.
Can I tell you something that I'm embarrassed to say and I didn't know until, WrestleMania.
Okay.
And obviously because I hadn't watched wrestling in a long time.
Oh, I feel like there's a big reveal coming here.
I didn't know. Roman Reigns and The Rock were cousins.
Yeah, that's why he's in Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh.
I never even saw Hobbs and Shaw.
You never saw Hobbs and Shaw?
No.
But they go back to native. Yeah.
I'm going to lay a confession out for all of you. I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious movies. None of them. Not even the first one. None of them.
I can't remember a lot of them. I've seen them, but some of them I can't remember them all.
Seen them.
Hey, I love every last one of them. I love
That's
them.
Okay.
And I'm waiting for the 11th one to come out. And people are like, you still watch? I love them, man.
Look, I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying I've never watched one of them. And I'm not saying I refuse to. I just never have. I feel like I got to go back to the beginning and watch the first one and work through them. But now there's like 10, 11 movies and there's spinoffs and... Like, this is how my wife feels about Star Wars. That's why she won't watch anything with me Star Wars. Because she's like, I'm so far behind. I'm like 10 movies behind. That's how I feel with that.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, I want to talk really briefly about Scottie Scheffler. Won the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Second time in 3 years. So congratulations to him. Good dude. Here was the point of contention this week. His wife was pregnant with their first child. And he said he would walk off the course at any point if his wife went into labor because he wanted to be there for the birth of his child. So here's the question. You're leading the Masters. It's on Sunday at the Masters. You're up by 3 strokes. You're on the back 9. You are marching toward a second green jacket. And your wife goes into labor. You leave the Masters? 5-6 holes to go. It's within striking distance.
Is this their first kid?
It is their first child.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out.
You're leaving?
I'm leaving.
So you're on the backbone of an NBA title in game 7. It's about to happen. Mama goes into birth. You're bouncing?
I'm out.
You're leaving.
I'm out, man. Okay. The birth of your child is something special, you know, and I hate to say this, but unfortunately I missed the birth of my daughter because I couldn't get a flight out, and then she came prematurely. So it was one of those things that you regret, but I think you don't want to miss that moment. And so I figured, and he's already won green jackets too, so he'd probably like, oh, I'm out. And I think everybody would have been.
Oh, I don't think anybody would have mm-hmm. held it against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got to tell you, and I'm going to give you an unpopular opinion here. Mm-hmm. As a man, there is not much we contribute to the birth of a child. We just sort of stand to the side and try not to look. You know what I mean? You're just like, you're doing great, baby.
It's support for your wife. You're doing great, baby. Hand, you give her the ice
she
chips.
She was so doped up, man. She didn't, I mean, you could have had Big Bird in there, man. She wouldn't have known. She wouldn't have known. I mean, like, and I get it. It's like there was something about when, you know, she's born and they put her on the scale and you get to see her for the first time. You get to hold her. Like, that's all. It's amazing. Like, it's very special. It's life changing. But what are the odds that you ever have another shot to win the Masters? Like, you're going to have that kid forever. That kid's going to be here for 10, 15, 30, 50. You're going to have a kid. Your kid's going to be around. The Masters, man. You I mean, like, it's you may never get back there. You may never get back there. It may never happen again. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. No. I'd probably finish the round and run home.
Be go down the hall.
No one's going down the hall. Shut up, man. Shut your mouth. We ain't doing that.
But I put it to you like this.
I ain't dragging my wife in here. No.
I put it to you like this. There have been many times where I think athletes have been in these type of moments where they'd be – you know, high stakes playoff games, finals games, you know, or whatnot, and their wives or girlfriends or whatever have gone into labor, and they've had the discussion with their significant other prior to things. Yeah. Like, if you're dating an athlete, like, that's one of the things that you're going to have to talk about, because especially if they are really, really good, they're all-star caliber, all NBA.
Oh,
like, the day that they get into the finals or in the playoffs – and you all decide to have a child, and that birth and the delivery kind of lines up with
like the finals or with the Masters. Like, Scottie Scheffler had to get his delivery date and go, son of a bitch. Masters weekend? That's when the child is due?
But here's the thing, though. What they could have been like, okay, the Masters is coming up. Let's induce labor earlier, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's something they were doing. Yeah,
Candace actually picked out her due date.
Oh, yeah.
For Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, you know, 20 years ago where you can do that. So I know that it's better nowadays.
Yeah, but I think it's still, you have to be, I would assume you still have to kind of be careful about that depending on the woman, what it could do to her. Because it's not equal for every woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what may have worked for one woman may not work for the other 2 or 3 women over here. It's how your body reacts to certain things.
And I'm not going to touch this subject because it's about what women do. then I don't know shit what they do.
Oh God, no. I just know as a man in delivery, you don't contribute very much. So.
Hey, I just know as a man in delivery, you don't look under that blanket.
Oh no. You stand back you by the shoulder.
You hold your wife's hand, you look at her, and you tell her to breathe. Okay, babe, we got this. We got this. Even though it's all you, we got this.
And when the doctor goes under the curtain, you avert your eyes. You just avert your eyes because you just don't want to.
I am very squeamish when it comes to certain things. They say you want to cut. I couldn't do it. My hands were like this. I couldn't cut the umbilical cord.
Oh, the umbilical cord. I had to do that. That's not fun. It's not. Mm-mm. Everyone's like, hey, it's a rite of passage. Doctor, and I'm like, no, it's not fun.
Hey, I've probably been on this.
I picked this big ass man up off my floor.
Just sweep him under the rug.
Yeah, pull him out of here. All right. I want to bring it up because I feel like you will always be connected to this incident. In the sense that you played in the finals during the O.J. chase. So O.J. Simpson passed away this week. I don't think a lot of people knew he had cancer, but he did. I think the O.J. thing, the Bronco chase, is one of those iconic moments where people remember where they were and what they were doing. You have a weird instance in your life where you were on the floor in the NBA finals when this was happening. So refresh my memory, because I think we've talked about it before. How did you guys find out what was going on in the O.J. chase while you were playing in the NBA Finals?
You know, I'm telling, it's like back in the day where we didn't have the technology to have for...
No, because this is 1994, games. I think, right?
94. So we had to have the TV and the VCR, and you literally record the game with the VCR. And when we was walking in... They had the TV sitting in the middle of the locker room. So we were like, what the fuck? And it was like the O.J. chase going on. So we're all standing there watching. And Rudy T comes in like, turn that shit up. Get your mind back in the game. We got to win this fucking game. So, you know, because we were down. No, we were going to we were about to be down 3-2 in that series. So, yeah, it was just one of those weird things is how we found out. And during the second half, people were like this, looking over. Nobody was really watching the game. Everybody that was sitting behind, what's the guy who used to do NBA or NBC, a little short guy?
Costas?
Yeah, Bob Costas. Costas, yeah. He had his screen. Everybody was standing by him, looking at his screen watching, because he was watching it as it unfolded. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have your phones. You didn't have any of that stuff. Back then. Yeah. So, did they put it up in the arena at any point? Like, was it on a screen anywhere in the arena or anything like that? No.
No, just the tables who had their monitors were watching.
They were the only ones who could see it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then what'd you do? Did you go home and then, like, rewind? how do you go back and fire? Just watch the news and just get the recap? I mean,
we had to watch game four. We couldn't watch game five. We just, you know, there's certain things that they, like, we saw the first half, and then, like, the fourth quarter we could go over, but we couldn't really watch the whole game in its entirety because of the chase.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because they did have the little box of us in the corner.
Yeah, but
like
it was
this.
One of the only times I can remember the finals being down, boxed down in the corner, and the O.J. chase having the whole screen. Yeah.
And think about it. It was just a fucking Bronco going down a freeway for 2 hours.
And I was captivated. I was the whole time. I'm like, because I think everybody wanted to see how it was going to end. I don't think anybody was like captivated by the chase. Well, the chase was sucked because it was going 10 miles an hour down the what was it, the 405, whatever the hell road he was on. I think everybody just wanted to see what was going to happen at the end of the chase.
Right.
And
if he was going to get killed.
Yeah. Who knows? By the way, the original owners of the Bronco, OJ's manager, ex-manager, I should say, and two people who are related to Al Cowlings own this Bronco, the original Bronco. And now that it's the 30th anniversary, they were going to sell it. The last offer they received was $750,000 for OJ's white Bronco. I'm surprised that's it great. Still exists. I thought they would have,
me
like,
too.
Cops would have taken it and probably thrown it in a crusher or something. Because it's like, man. But I guess because it was a piece of evidence in the crime, they hung on to it, and it's worth a shit ton of money.
But how about this? They just demolished the house. The house is not there anymore.
Well, yeah, that's right. I did hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I think someone had built the house on top of it.
What was that, Brentwood?
Yeah, Brentwood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far is that away from you, Rob?
It's over by UCLA, so it's about a good 45 minutes.
Oh, Lord.
Jesus. All right, good.
Is that with no traffic?
Yeah.
That's with no traffic. That's with no traffic. So like 3-4 hours. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's just close out, shoot around a couple things here real quick. For what it's worth, we talked about the no defense in the NBA this year. Now that the regular season's over, we had 20 instances of guys scoring 50 or more points in a game this year. 20 times it happened. Luka took the record with 73. Embiid posted a 70. Giannis had a 64. Book scored 62. Kat scored 62. Jalen Brunson, 61. Steph Curry, 60. And then there's a bunch more. Giannis, Tyrese Maxey, Ant-Man, who all had 50s, 51s, 54s, that kind of thing. I can't remember a year where we had that many 50-plus point performances. That's a lot for one
That's
season.
That's a lot.
That doesn't mean, like, absurdly a lot.
Unless Adam does what he says he's going to do, is change something about the defense, you know, say he's not going to give them all those calls. So it's still going to keep going up.
Yeah, and guys are – it's going to go up because guys are more talented now. They have much more in their arsenal. But, obviously, because the defense lacks a bit, it makes it a lot easier for those more talented guys to get what they want.
Yeah. And I mean, like Rob said, the rules are in your favor.
Yeah.
As an offensive player, the rules lean very heavy to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, the fact that we had two guys this year that posted 70s is bananas. Luka with a 73 and Embiid with a 70.
I was there to witness that 73.
Yeah,
that was
there for
State Farm.
That was here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. All right, last question of the week from Charlie, closing out the shoot around. You guys debated it all year. Now that the regular season is over, who gets your MVP vote?
My MVP vote goes to Jason Tatum.
Well deserved.
Best record in basketball.
Well deserved.
I'm not mad at that.
I can't. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anybody's going to have a wrong answer here.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somebody says Luka.
I am leaning more towards SGA. Just for the simple fact that where they were last year, 40-42, mm-hmm. to then get, obviously I know it came down to the last game in a three-way tie, but to then you move all the way up to the number one seed and still having that young of a team. It puts you right there. Even though, you know, Ant-Man was there for a second, and he deserves his flowers too.
Because, his time's coming, though.
Yeah, his time's coming.
I don't know if this was the season for Anthony Edwards.
It could be next year.
I 100% lean with you. It's, for me, it's SGA. Mm-hmm. It's just because of where OKC finished and how they finished and the turnaround from last season. Mm-hmm. That's really, for me, that's the notes, right? That's what you look at when you're like, I mean, how much impact did you have on your team? Bam. I mean, it's flat out right there. He's at the top almost every scoring category. That team had an exceptional turnaround.
But for me, I think you be putting it like that's all SGA. I think it had a lot to do with Chet.
Oh no, it's not all him. But I mean, he was I think the most key piece.
But it ain't all Tatum. Like no. Jaylen Brown ain't no scrub.
Hell no.
No, but I'm just saying though. But for you to have the best record in basketball, knowing that you had how hard it is to repeat that, you know.
Yeah, but they play in the East.
Yeah, but I don't want to hold that against them. I don't want to hold that against them.
I know, but you beat when you finished what? We talked about it on the Tuesday show. What, 14 games up on everybody?
Yeah, but you play everybody, though.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
But. It ain't like you're secluded to just playing everybody in the East.
Yeah, no, I know.
You
I got
play
it,
everybody.
But,
now,
yeah,
here's the thing.
And plus for me, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, the only thing I was going to say is what was their record last year?
Boston?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's look it up. It was good. Yeah. I don't know how good. Don't want to look it up here.
And what I think is tough for Tatum is when you're continuously the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, whether you have the best record in the league or not, the level of pressure that you have on your shoulders consistently is what makes it tough to also win the MVP. Because now it's kind of like
they were 57-25 last year.
Okay, they were the number one seed last year.
They were number two.
Number two.
Behind Milwaukee. Oh, yeah, and they were 64-18 this year.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they didn't.
So they were better.
They were better.
They were better. Yeah, damn, seven games better.
It's almost kind of like, it's almost kind of like if he wins the MVP, like we already say that they got to win the title. Because their window, in a sense,
they won 51 games a year before that.
Yeah,
so they even have, as good as they've been, they've consistently
they're getting gone better. Up. And everybody's saying, "Look, this needs to be the year that y'all win the title." Because you think Brown got a big contract last? Jason Tatum's getting paid this offseason.
He's gonna get broke off.
And I understand that
we're gonna do a whole show on that contract.
You can't continue to pay all these guys, and they're already doing it. I know they're doing it, but eventually you rob it. Eventually, you're just kicking the can down the road, and eventually, if you're not taking advantage of the guys that you have and getting a title, at some point in time, people are gonna start questioning, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, where's all this money going to?
And I also want y'all to think about this: they locked up the best in the NBA. They had the best record. They locked that up, like 18 games left to go.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Something
right.
like crazy like that.
Yeah, they were clinched a month and a half ago. Yeah.
So it's like so many games they didn't even try to win.
Right.
So my point is, like, their record would have been even better than what it was. So that and that, I think people, because of, you know, the contract that Brown got and Porzingis and all this kind of stuff that's added, Drew, all the people they added, I still think Jason Tatum put that team at the best record. You know, even though Jokic is going to win it, let's be honest, Jokic is going to win it.
You think so?
Really?
Yeah, he's going to win it. Yeah, because it's all about the hype.
I haven't felt it this year with Jokic.
The guys who have votes, they're pretty much dumbasses. Most of the guys that have votes, they're followers. They're like, oh, what are we talking about? Oh, give my vote to him. Don't even fucking watch the game. And gonna give it to him because that's what everybody's saying. He's clear-cut MVP.
Look, he's an amazing player. He's an incredible player. And I feel like he's in the conversation almost every season without hesitation, and justly so.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I feel like there's an argument to be made for other guys this year.
Like, I want them to print out a list. They always reveal everything about players and their contract stuff. This is I want you to put out a list of everybody who has a fucking vote. And I want to see who they voted for.
Well, Major League Baseball does that.
Yeah, I want to know who everybody voted for.
Yeah, they hold the writers accountable at least. Yeah. And they go, hey, you got to put your vote out there. Yeah. And then they get to call out the guys who made asinine picks just for no other reason. I didn't like this guy, so I left him off my ballot. Well, because you're an asshole. And then you're not voting for the right reason. You vote for the guys who...
And then you should be restricted from ever voting again. You'd be banned for 10 years.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.